Chapter 5. The Immitis System. They reached the Immitis System, and it was burning. The Fist's Exemplar translated out of the warp shortly after the Iron Warriors. The Palamedes was already in combat. A single orc ship was attacking the base in the system. It was a Leviathan, much larger than the Iron Warriors' strike cruiser, larger even than the Fist's Exemplar battle barges. It was a hulking shape, wider than the Dantalion and Gilliman combined. A black, snarling, metal beast of war, a thing of shields like tectonic plates and volcanic weaponry, it orbited the industrial moon of the system's gas giant. The orc ship battered the surface with a barrage of torpedoes. Ranks of immense cannons jutted out beneath its hull, running the entire length of the ship. They fired shells the size of thunderhawks. At this distance, the moon appeared in the Dantalion's oculus as a metallic tangle. It was only a few hundred kilometers in diameter. Industrial works covered the entire surface. The gravity was too weak to sustain an atmosphere, and the belching of thousands of chimneys floated off into the void. The grey mass of twisting pipelines and manufactoria was lit now by blossoming fire. "Shipmaster Makarian," Zerbrin said from the bridge pulpit, "set course for the starboard flank of the enemy." The Palamedes had engaged the port. "Weapons, masters, target shields and weapons." Makarian looked up from the throne.
"Not the engines?"
"No. The vessel's orbit is too close to the moon. Anything like a plasma detonation might destroy our goal." His hesitation was brief, and he hoped it was not noticed. He had been uncertain how to refer to the moon. It was a world of slave manufacturia controlled by the Iron Warriors. He had just ordered the preservation of a traitor possession. "Of course you have," he thought. "We need the resources to make repairs. I am honor-bound to aid Kalkator for the moment, and I do not intend to destroy a second world on this mission." The reasons were good. The reasons were true. They also sat uneasily in his heart. Makarian communicated Zerberin's orders to the rest of the flotilla, and the Fist's Exemplar vessels adjusted their course. The Orc battleship had not reacted to their presence yet. They had the luxury of planning an attack.
"Master of the Vox," Zerbrin said. "Hail the Palamedes. Command channel."
"So ordered."
"Your arrival is welcome, if tardy,"
Kalkator said a moment later. The Iron Warrior's grim humor made Zerbrin's neck muscles tense. It seemed to carry a presumption of brotherhood, one that Zerbrin was unable to reject as fully as he knew he should. He responded as if Kalkator had said nothing.
"You cannot risk the destruction of the enemy."
"We cannot," Kalkator agreed, "not in its current position."
The effect of the warsmith's voice was diminished by the distortions of the vox. Even so, it was harsh, the sound of spikes against a millstone.
"You plan to board it?"
"We do. We will be in a position to attack the bridge shortly."
"If your ship survives long enough."
"Quite."
The orcs were hitting the void shields of the Palamedes with punishing broadsides. The strike cruiser was surrounded by a desperate flaring of red. Like the Dantalion, the damage it had already sustained was considerable. It would not be able to take much more.
"We will launch boarding torpedoes to aft starboard to coordinate with your attack," Zerbrin said. "We will work our way forward and silence their guns."
"Then we shall meet on the bridge," said Kalkator,
and he signed off. Zerbrin became aware of a presence to his right.
"What is it, Brother Mandek?"
he said.
"We are fighting alongside the traitors again."
"Yes," Zerbrin said. He was unable to keep all the irritation from his voice.
"Why are you asking? We travelled with them to Immitis, or did you think we were following them in order to lay an ambush?"
Mandek gazed at him levelly. Zerbrin had been given command of the mission by Thane, but Zerbrin and Mandek had held the same rank until a few days before. Mandek appeared to want Zerbrin to remember this.
"I needed to hear it," he said.
"Why?" Mandek frowned. Instead of answering directly, he said,
"I've just come from the astropathic choir."
"Why?" Zerbrin said again.
"I wanted to know if there'd been any message sent to the chapter master."
And again Zerbrin said,
"Why?" "You have not communicated with him since we began travelling this path with the traitors, have you?"
Was Mandek refusing to name the Iron Warriors, Zerbrin wondered? or was he simply choosing to state what they were until Zerbrin acknowledged that truth? This was not the time, he thought. There was a slippery tightness in his chest.
What is your point? Zerbrin said.
He gestured at the oculus.
We are entering battle. There has been another message from Chapter Master Thane, said Mandek. Oh, we are ordered to return to Terra with all haste.
So we shall. Mandek blinked.
Do you think the flotilla can travel that distance through the warp and arrive intact?
No, Mandek admitted.
Then we will make repairs first, or are you suggesting we ignore the Orc battleship before us?
The dark look Mandek gave the oculus suggested he wished the Iron Warriors and the Orcs the pleasure of each other's company.
We cannot go far in our present condition, Zerbrin insisted.
These are all true things, he thought. All of them.
Is there a message for the Chapter Master? Mandek asked.
Yes, that we have heard and proceed as ordered.
You will inform the Astropathic Choir of this message?
Zerbrin forced himself not to bristle.
No,
he said. He met and held Mandek's gaze.
You will.
Mandek nodded, satisfied.
So ordered.
They were both pretending now that the decision had been entirely Zerbrin's.
Good. Let's kill some orcs first.
The boarding torpedoes from the Fist Exemplar flotilla drilled through dozens of meters of shield. They burrowed through the skin of the orc vessel like worms through earth. Outside the hull, the vessels of the Fist Exemplar and the Iron Warriors had the battleship surrounded. The strike cruisers, Paragon, Implicit, and Courageous, were so heavily damaged they had to keep further back and within the shelter of Dantalion and Gilliman, but they too pounded the enemy with cannon fire. The orcs had no need for void shields. The vessel's plating was so thick, so dense, shells burst against it with little effect. It retaliated, redirecting some of its firepower from the bombardment of the moon to target the ships. Zerbrin felt the blast of the gargantuan cannons as his boarding torpedo ground its way forward. He was in the flesh of the enemy, and it shook with each concussion of its immense turrets.
Shipmaster, he voxed, all torpedoes are breaching the target. What is your status?
Our shields are at the limit,
said Markarian.
The hits are counting.
Get some distance. I want something to return to when we're done here.
So ordered.
The torpedoes burst through the outer hull. They came out in emptiness. Zerbrin and his squad were suddenly weightless as the torpedo dropped. It struck hard, and its front hatch blew open. Zerbrin lunged forward, Bolter held out before him. The torpedoes had arrived in the lower third of a gallery that stretched for over a kilometre towards the bow of the vessel. Multiple levels of catwalks ran along the bulkheads. They led to the entrances to the turrets. The centre of the hull was a crisscrossing of metal platforms, bridges, and ladders. In the vastness of the space, the web looked gossamer thin. Orcs swarmed over the structure like insects, running transport trains of shells to the guns, carrying materiel and tools as the web crumbled and shook with every blast of the guns. They had taken the orcs by surprise. Enemy fire was sporadic. The greenskins raged, hurling blades. They overturned their transports, derailing them and sending them and their contents hurtling down on the invaders.
Destroy it, Zerbrin ordered.
He dodged a rain of gears heavy enough to crush a mortal.
Tear this structure down.
He threw crack grenades at the base of the nearest scaffolding. Up close, the strength of the construction was clear. The girders were all at least a quarter of a meter thick. It was the obscene power of the cannons and their recoil that subjected them to such inconceivable stress. Ahead and behind Zerbrin, his brothers used more crack grenades and melter bombs. The explosives went off within seconds of each other. A score of detonations turned the anchor points along a long section of the starboard base to liquid. The blasts melted through the bases of four supports rising from the bottom deck, and their collapse triggered a chain reaction. The tangle of metal web fell. Cables snapped, and catwalks whipped away from bulkheads. Orcs were crushed beneath thousands of tons of falling iron. The interior of the battleship echoed and rang with the avalanche of metal and the howls of the dying. The flow of ammunition for the entire section ended. The guns would soon fall silent. Zerbrin led the charge towards the bow. The Fist's exemplar alternated between firing into the gunnery compartments in the starboard bulkhead and triggering further collapses of the scaffold. They had left the boarding torpedoes hundreds of meters behind before the Orcs mounted a true counterattack. They came from the upper cannon emplacements to starboard and from all levels to port. They poured out of hatches and tunnels. The furious green tide flooded the gallery.
"Keep advancing," Zerbrin ordered. "We'll kill the guns, then finish off the crew."
Squad formation tightened. The Fist's exemplar became their name. They were a fist of Ceramite, a fist over 100 battle brothers strong, a fist that punched through the enemy, leaving blood and flame in its wake. The density of bolter fire was ferocious. On the flanks, flamers washed jets of ignited promethium over the greenskins. Zerbrin inhaled the smell of burning Xenos flesh even through his rebreather. The pungent stench crumbled beneath the purging burn of fuel. The Orcs shot and slashed at the formation. Their own crowd worked against them. They cut each other down with their own guns. They could not bring their mass to bear unless they isolated battle brothers. The Fist kept advancing, killing Orcs with every step. It was a long, slow, inexorable blow. The greenskins threw themselves against the formation and died.
"They're doing our work for us," Mandek foxed.
He sounded energized by the combat. Zerbrin glanced back. Mandek was close to his position, flamer reducing the enemy to ash. He fought with exuberance, and that was the battle brother Zerbrin knew, the firebrand on the battlefield, not the worried soul he had seen on the bridge of the Dantalion.
"Then we should make them work harder yet," Zerbrin said.
The leading edge of the Fist formation threw more crack grenades ahead. They melted flesh as well as iron, and the collapse of the scaffold web spread. 10 meters from the end of the gallery, after the last of the cannon enclaves, there was a large door in the starboard bulkhead. Zerbrin had just passed it when it blew open. 3 monstrous Orcs stormed out. Big as dreadnoughts, they were clad in armor that mirrored that of their vessel. They were huge, massively shielded. 2 of them wielded what appeared to be power chain fists and claws large enough to peel open the hull of a land raider. They flanked the 3rd, who had a flamer nozzle on either arm. It bellowed in eager rage and bathed the Fist's exemplar in fire. The assault was a flaming deluge that swept over the formation. The temperature inside Zerberin's armor rocketed. The fire covered his helmet. He could see nothing except the burning red. He fired towards the position of the Orcs. He was shooting blind. So were all his brothers, the many rows of the formation.
"Rush them!" Zerbrin ordered.
The flamer would be useless to the Orc at point-blank range. He ran to his right, still firing, still blinded by the unending stream of liquid flame. He could hear the roars of the giant Orcs over the din of battle, and that was enough of a guide. He pulled out his chainsword, revved its engine, and thrust the whirring blade forward. He collided with a moving wall. The impact stopped both him and the wall. The wall growled. It hit him from the side with something massive. He flew back and to his right. He landed in a heap of fallen iron outside the wash of the flamer, and he could see again. The Orcs' flamers launched the promethium with a pressure as high as the volume was enormous. It enveloped most of the Fist's exemplar's formation. The Fist had changed direction. It had lost some of its coherence, and the flanking Orcs were smashing into it with their massive power limbs. The flamer Orc turned off its weapon as the flaming mass it had created closed in to grapple with it. The greenskin attacked with piston-driven arms. Its hands were strong enough on their own to rip a man in half. Zerbrin was at the edge of the formation. Smaller Orcs surrounded him. He kept his back to the wreckage and climbed a few steps, gaining elevation. He severed arms and heads with his chainsword, holding back the tide while he looked for the opportunity to take down the giants. He climbed another step. An Orc leapt for him, arms outstretched to pull him back down into the greenskin cauldron. Zerbrin slammed the hilt of his chainsword on the Orc's skull. He shoved its head down with such force, the beast impaled its throat on a spur of shattered girder. The Orc twitched and writhed, helplessly pinned. Its blood poured down the jutting metal angles. The flames were dying down, and the Fist's exemplar could see again. Bolter shells blasted away chunks of Orc armor, but the giants had not slowed at all. Dead battle brothers, bodies crushed and dismembered, lay at their feet. The flamer orc lunged down and seized a space marine. It lifted him, clear of the formation. It held Mandek. His left arm was pinned by the orc's grip. His right was free, and he thrust his chainsword through the orc's jaws. The beast uttered a choking shriek. It tightened its grip convulsively. The sword cut through its throat. Mandek strained and hauled the blade to his right. The upper half of the orc's head slid to the ground. The body twisted to Mandek's left as it began to fall. Zerbrin had a clear shot at the fuel tanks on its back. He sent a full burst of shells into their center. His brothers, nearest the orc, stepped back as the tanks exploded. The blast stunned the other two orcs. The flash was dazzling, but Zerberin's auto lenses flickered over his eyes, blocking the glare. Now he and his brothers had a few seconds of advantage where they could see, and the greenskins could not. A huge gout of flame erupted over one of the giants. The inferno flowed through every chink in its armor. The orc became a screaming, towering torch. It flailed its arms, as blind as its foe had been moments before. The fist's exemplar surged forward again, pressing their advantage. The monster began to go down under the concerted assault. The body of the flamer orc was still standing, like a monstrous idol that refused to topple, and it still held Mandek in its death grip. Zerbrin leapt off the rubble. He smashed and cut his way through the stunned enemy, rejoining the formation. He skirted the edge of the fist, wielding his chainsword like a scythe, parting muscle and tendons. Orcs fell before him, but he was wading in a muck of grasping limbs and blades. Too slow, he thought. The seconds fell away, sluggish and fatal. Mandek was cutting through the dead orc's armored limb. His chain blade sent out showers of sparks. Too slow. Behind Mandek, the third monster reached out with a claw. It hammered its power fist on the deck. Battle brothers threw themselves out of its path. The blow was so powerful, the deck rippled like water. Zerbrin stumbled as the surface beneath his boots dropped and jerked. He reached the flames of the burning orc, and he could move faster. He slipped under the arms of the dead orc. He looked up into the leering face of the remaining giant. A straight shot, up through the jaw guard of its helm and into its eyes. He brought up his bolter. Too slow. The orc's power claw closed around Mandek's head. Zerbrin fired. The claw snapped shut. The orc's face disappeared. Its skull disintegrated. The hail of shells knocked the remains back in its helm with explosive force. This green skin did not remain standing after it was dead. It fell backward. The closed power claw dropped away from Mandek's headless corpse. The giants were dead. The number of the other orcs was dwindling. Then Kalkator's voice was on the vox, that double voice of ancient warrior and of something else even older, that voice of an enemy, yet that voice strangely welcome.
"We have taken the bridge, Zerbrin," he said. "What is your status?"
"The starboard guns are silenced, or soon will be," Zerbrin said. He took up his position at the head of the formation once more. The fist's exemplar moved forward, grinding the orcs into the deck.
"The ammunition flow is disrupted. We will be moving to the port side now."
"We will join you there. The ship will soon be ours."
"Good." Zerbrin blinked the channel closed. He looked forward to his left and to his right as he advanced, shoulder to shoulder with his brothers, through the smouldering wreckage of the gallery. They were leaving brothers behind. At the rear of the formation, Apothecary Rayok would be retrieving the progenoid glands of the fallen, preserving their genetic legacy and the continuity of the fist's exemplar. The brothers had not fallen into oblivion, and they had not fallen in vain. Their deaths gave him sorrow. He found acceptance in the thought of their gift to the future. It was Mandek's death that bothered him. Zerbrin had been unable to save him. There was nothing more he could have done. He knew this to be true. And yet, I did everything possible. No one could have saved him. He repeated these truths to himself as if they were weak and must be reinforced, or else they would fracture and turn into lies. He repeated them in the hope they would bury his awareness of the other thing he was feeling. Relief. Mandek's oblique accusations were silenced now. So were the questions he had asked, and the astropathic message to Thane would not be sent. He could not be saved, Zerberin thought. Snarling, he blasted a charging orc's torso to shreds. He could not be saved. He could not be saved. Every step of the march through the gallery, Zerberin repeated the words. They began as a refrain. Gradually, they became something more, something very like a prayer. He could not be saved. He could not be saved. There could be no salvation.